Let's forget about ourselves and concentrate on Him. Let's forget about ourselves and
one this morning, and I was going to get one of the other brothers to do one of the services, but I left it too late in the week, and then I said to myself, if I get one of them now, they might say I didn't give them enough time, but praise God. But next Sunday morning we have a dedication as well, then I'll get one of the brothers maybe to do the evening service, praise God, and the Lord bless each one. This morning, I want to just look briefly from Galatians at the redemption of the cross. And this is, we know these different scriptures and readings, but I just want to go over it this morning again, some thoughts, just to refresh your minds, and just a little something what I've noticed while I was going through different scriptures, which I just want to bring out this morning, and then we're going to have a communion service. And we just thank the Lord we can have a communion service, don't we? You know, I lay in bed last night, and I was just thinking about the Lord. And I said to the wife, I've been studying in the office for a bit. And then sometimes I'll go in for a bit, come out and go back in again. And I said, if the rapture went, how many's going? How many's actually going? Who's actually going? When you look at a lot of Christians today and you wonder, the rapture went, are they ready to go? There's an awful lot of them's not ready. There's so many things they're putting in front of the work of God. And so many excuses. And I tell you, when the rapture goes, we know the Bible says that the wise had their lamps trimmed and filled with oil. Trimmed and filled with oil. And that's who's going in the rapture. Not everybody's going in the rapture. Only those with their lamps trimmed and filled with oil is going in the rapture. And the left's going to be left for the tribulation. And I tell you, I want to be one of them that's going. And every one of us ought to have that in our heart, that we want to be going. And we need to be filled with the Spirit, don't we? And we can be filled a few weeks ago, and that's good, but we want filled again. We want the fresh oil every time we meet, don't we? Praise the Lord. Let's read verse 13 of Galatians chapter 3, and the Lord bless you, and I trust this will bless you this morning. The redemption of the cross, I've titled it this morning. Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Let's bow our heads again this morning, praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Lord, there's nothing in ourselves that would make us holy or worthy, but we come through your precious blood, pleading the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb. We come and we pray and ask that you'll wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the driven snow. Purge us and we shall be the hyssop. Sanctify us and we praise thy name. Fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me, and I thank you that you will. Pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. Pray you'll sanctify this building, the matter what went on here before we came or during the week. Sanctify this room. Have your way. Be pleased to come amongst us. Lord, we've come to lift you up. We've come to talk about what you've done on the cross. And Lord, as we come around this communion table, we want to celebrate your victory in your life and praise and magnify your lovely name. Lord, when we take this wine, we're thinking of your precious blood. When we break this bread and take it, we're thinking of your body, which was wounded for us. And by your stripes wounds, we were healed. Lord, continue to heal and touch your people. Think of our sister Linda this morning. We pray you'll touch her. We pray you'll strengthen her. Sister Winifred, touch her and strengthen her. Any sisters that perhaps had to work, strengthen them, bless them. For the children, strengthen them and bless them. Save everyone represented with anyone in this room. Save them, we pray. Cover them with your blood and bring them in. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Christ purchased our freedom. That's another way of saying it or reading it. Christ purchased our freedom by redeeming us. And every time I think of the word redeem, I go back in my mind to the wee hall outside of Bonbridge's evening. I heard your big fella, Davy Henry, is that his name? Davy Henry. He preached there one evening. I was only a young fella. And he preached on being redeemed. Bought back, and it was a wonderful service. And he has redeemed us from the curse, the doom of the law. And the law was a doom, wasn't it? It was a doom. And he redeemed us from the curse of the doom of the law and its commandments by himself. Brother Yule prayed it. He prayed it in his prayer this morning, becoming a curse for us. For it is written in the scripture, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree or is crucified. First, there's the redemption of the cross, Christ dying for us to bring us our complete deliverance from the curse of sin. That's the first thing. Then the other thing is, second, the fellowship of the cross. Christ taken up to die, we die with him. There's a time we die with him. And you'll never be saved if you don't actually die, in a sense, to the Lord. And making us partakers of the fellowship of his death, our own experience. Now in our text, you know, there's three thoughts you could bring out of this morning. The law of God's pronounced a curse on all that sin and that is sinful. That's the first thing you could see in this text this morning, that the law of God's pronounced a curse on sin and all that's sinful. Then secondly, Jesus Christ took a curse upon himself because he became a curse and he destroyed its power. Destroyed its power. And then the third thing, and in the cross of Christ we have everlasting redemption from sin and its power. Not for a week or a month. Everlasting redemption. So this is an everlasting redemption. And the cross reveals to us under the curse, Christ becoming a curse and so overcoming it, now full and everlasting deliverance from the curse. And hence in our reading this morning, Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law, been made a curse for us. You know, every single sinner can here find confidence and hope in the thought that Jesus Christ took the curse on the cross. And I want you to think of this punishment under the law, for a rebellious son was hanged on a tree. And you see, this is a Jewish thing. This comes from the law of the Old Testament, that the rebellious son would be hanged on a tree. And Jesus Christ was not a rebellious son. But every one of us were rebellious sons. And because Jesus took our place, he took the place of that son that's rebellious, been me and you, to fulfill the law. Now, we all always mention Christ fulfilled the law, but here's a literal fulfillment of part of it here. And I want to just briefly show you through Scripture, when you take that phrase, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree," if you go to Deuteronomy 21, verse 21 to 22, chapter 21. "And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou shalt hang him on a tree, his bodily shall not remain all night upon the tree, but," excuse me, "thou shalt in no wise bury him in him that day. For he that hangeth on a tree, accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord giveth thee for an inheritance." So you see, under this Mosaic law, those who were hanged on the tree were cursed. That's one thing I want you to get. They were cursed. And then also under this law, it was illegal to leave the body hanging overnight on the cross. You couldn't leave them overnight, so they were cursed. They was hung, and then they weren't to be left all night on the tree. They were brought down. Now you know, when they went round, all of them on the cross, and they saw they were dead, and they came to Jesus, and they were going to break his legs. How many knows that? And he was already dead, and they pierced him in the side. And then you go over to the book of Psalms, and you could read, "Not a bone of his body shall be broken." You see, every single scripture's like we've shared about Samuel, not one word will fall to the ground. And you see, this Bible's perfection. I want you to get that this morning, that this Bible's perfect. And you see, people tell you they found a mistake in the Bible. They're the mistake, for there's none in the Bible. The moment they say that, that's your mistake. There's no mistakes in the Word of God. It's the absolute. And everything it says in the Old Testament bore out in Christ, didn't it? And you see, this hanging on the tree, the man that hangs in the tree is a curse. And overnight, this is their own law, this law. And it applied to Jesus, who was executed on a tree, although he had done no wrong. And this morning I want to emphasize the tree. I'm going to emphasize the tree. And there's so many different things. And you know, I saw someone up, and they had all this great thing up, that he wasn't nailed in the hands. He was nailed in the wrist. But then when you go over in the Bible again, it said, "How do you get these marks in your hands?" It doesn't say his wrist. "And how do you get these marks in your feet?" It doesn't say his ankles. So people can have ideas, but if the ideas are not according to this Bible, well, then they're the wrong ideas. Amen. This law applied to Jesus, executed on a tree, a law, he'd done no wrong. But remember, he's taken your place, he's taken my place. Not only is he taking your place, not only is he taking my place, but John 3:16 says, God so loved the world. God so loved the world. Jesus Christ died for the whole world. People that say, well, he'll be saved and he'll not be saved. You're not smart enough, or I'm not smart enough to do that. You can never decide who'll be saved and who not. That's God's own business. But I want to tell you, the atonement of Christ is for all that will believe. And the blood of Jesus Christ can save this world and another. That's how powerful it is. And that's why the Bible says, whosoever will come. Whosoever. It doesn't say the chosen few, the limited bunch. It says whosoever. And Christ died for no one but sinners. So he died in this tree for sinners. And he became a curse. So the wee lad, the wee woman, or the stinker, or whatever you want to call them. And then if you looked at your own self, we're honest. Every one of us was as bad. And maybe worse. And you see, when people get to a place where they think they're all right, that lets you know they're blinded. Because they're not all right. They're only right when they've Christ. Amen. We need the Lord. Jesus Christ's body was removed from the cross on the same day of his death. And I preached a sermon in Reno, Nevada many years ago when I was only a wee young fella. And I preached on craving the body of Jesus. And I got the text from Joseph of Arimathea, went in boldly, and he craved the body of Jesus, and he wanted to lay him in a tomb, for never no man had laid. Now I had heard that A.L. preached on craving, and he got his text from a cigarette packet. So I went and I looked when I was in America, and I found it, and I got a photograph of it still somewhere, and there used to be cigarettes called craving, eh? And A.L. one time preached about craving, eh? So I thought I'd preach about craving Jesus. He probably did as well. But I never heard him preach it. Somewhere you could maybe look it up and find it. Where he preached on it. But I know that he used that cigarette packet. And he got the craving, eh, didn't he? And Brother Branham did the same, didn't he? Walking one day. A thinking man's filter and a holy man's taste. He found a packet of cigarettes. And that's what it said on them. A thinking man's filter and a holy man's taste. The filter on the cigarette filtered the whatever dirt was going through it. And it was a decoy, really. You're still getting choked and poisoned. But he preached a sermon from it, scriptural sermon. Thinking man's filter and a holy man's taste. But I tell you, Joseph of Arimathea begged the body of Jesus. And Jesus took the curse upon himself to redeem us from the curse of the law. Leviticus 18, 24 to 27 shows you about the curse of the law. Numbers 35, verse 3 to 34. I won't read it this morning because I want to give time for communion. But these are scriptures which you could mark and read and study them. And you see, all the curses, every single curse Jesus took on him. Now that's every single curse. That's why Jesus is able to heal from every single disease. Because he took on him every single curse. He paid the price to heal every disease. He paid the price to heal every infirmity. Every single thing the Lord can heal. There's no doctor can come up with a new disease or a new thing that Jesus Christ can't deliver from. He can deliver from all because he became a curse. And he took it on himself in his own body so he can heal from every single bit of it. And yet, who could ever have thought that the Son of God himself would die upon a cursed tree? Become a curse for us. Who would think of it? Many times a cross in the Jewish law is referred as a tree. Many times it's referred as a tree. And I want to just refer that this morning where it's referred to as a tree. Now, Acts 5 verse 30 says to God, the God of our Father raised up Jesus, whom you slew, and hanged on a tree. Now, people talk about there's three trees, three crosses. But William Branham said there's four. And he said the fourth one was Judas Iscariot. And he said Judas Iscariot also hanged on his tree. And you know that Judas Iscariot, that's exactly what happened. He sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. And he went and hanged himself on a tree. So there's four trees, you could say. But we know the important tree to us was the one in the middle. Three crosses standing, used to be, sing it. Who's ever heard the song? Three crosses standing on Calvary's hill. Two of them there against their own will. The one in the middle, he died there for me. It's a wonderful song. I mind years ago hearing it many times as a lad. What a wonderful song it is. Jesus on the middle cross took our place hanging on the tree. Acts 10:39 says, and we are witnesses of these things which he did both on the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Now I'll tell you, you think of the healings and the miracles Jesus done, but they hanged him on a tree. And then in Acts 13, verse 29, and when they fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. So the Bible speaks a lot about the tree, isn't that right? Then this morning, we want to go right back to the beginning. And when we go right back to the beginning, there's a curse and there's a blessing mentioned with a tree right in the beginning. And I know our brother Brian Gary preached and brought out all about the trees. If you've never heard it, it's on our website. Go and listen to it, where he did the study on the Wednesday nights on the trees. And I'm only briefly mentioning the trees this morning. I haven't got time to go into it all because I want us to have time for communion. But I want you to see where the curse started. There's a tree mentioned. That's in Genesis when we see the fall of man and the forbidden tree. And here we read in Genesis 3, verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So there's a tree in the middle of the garden, you're not allowed to touch of it or eat of it, lest ye die. Then verse 11, and he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? So we see the trees represented in here with life and with death. Then we come the whole way up to the cross, and cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Isn't it amazing? There's a tree of life in the midst. Don't touch it. And there's a tree of life still this morning, what God wants us to come to. You know, the tree was once guarded with cherubims and flaming swords. But thank God this morning, because Jesus stood in our place in the room in our stead, we have access to the tree. And it's not a tree of apples on it. It's a tree of life. Amen. What about the tree in Revelations, which leaves for healing for the nations? Are on it. That's Jesus Christ, absolutely. Amen. But I tell you, we see this tree in Revelations 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gate into the city. So that's wonderful tree of life. And I tell you, in John 3:16, God so loved the world. You see the truth of the gospel. He loved us so much. The penitent sinner can now rejoice. Amen. And the confident assurance that the curse is forever put away. It's forever put away through the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross. There's no such thing as coming back on you. Jesus completely took it away on the cross. Amen. The cross was so important, you know. Amen. You can never preach the cross enough. You know, when you think of so many testimonies, think of William Branham in the wee coal house. What did he say appeared before him? Amen. The cross. Think of William Mullen telling the story about the wee fellow was lost. And the big policeman found him. And they said the wee boy's hands was all chocolate and all. They took him to the hand. And he walked them round through the streets, and they used to call the policemen Bobbies. And he couldn't find where he lived. And the wee fella tugged on his arm and he says, I know I live over there. And he says, how do you know, son? He says, do you see the cross on the church? My house is just behind that big cross. That's where I live. And that policeman was a saved man and a preacher. And God spoke in his heart. And he says, if you bring them to the cross, I'll do the rest. But you know what's wrong today in preaching? I'm going to tell you it. People are trying to clean people up and bring them. They're trying to make them the weak soldiers and then bring them along with some temptation. It'll never work. Jesus Christ takes you as you are. You come as you are and you come to the cross. And there's only one cleansing agent with God. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only truly cleansing agent. The blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other cleansing agent. You can dress them up and you can do all you want with them, but they're still stinking sinners in the nostrils of God. But I tell you, when you bring them to the cross, and the curse is broken and the curse is lifted, generational curses, all curses are broke and they're lifted at Calvary because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. For he through the eternal spirit offered up himself once and for all at the cross. Get them to the cross. Thank God to the cross. I tell you, let me tell you this morning, many years ago, Ormond Neville was a pastor of the Branham Tabernacle, and it should never have been called the Branham Tabernacle. That was never what it was meant to be called. William Branham himself told them to get that name off of it. But they called it after him, and they worshipped the man. And they came back, these brothers, from a missionary trip, and they were talking. You know what they were asked when they came back? When they talked about what they preached, they were asked, did you preach the gospel? That's the question they were asked. I wonder how many today, after their trips, if they were brought in and asked, did you preach the gospel? What would their answer be? They're so caught up in mysteries and all these other things, they forgot something. There could be a wee soul sitting somewhere that God, before the foundation of the world, has predestinated to come. Amen. And they will come. God will have someone to reach them. And I tell you, wouldn't it be a real shame if they were missed? They won't be missed by God, but I'm talking about the preachers missing them. Boy, you can't never miss it. Sure you can't. You know, the old Willie Mullen preached a funeral once, and the boy came to him, and he says to him, no harm to you, Willie Mullen. That was out of season this morning, all right. He says, the way you preached the gospel there at a funeral, there was no call for it. And William Mullen says, brother, do you think it was out of season? And he says, it was, William. And he says, well, praise God. And he says, what? Praise God. He says, well, he said, preach it in season and out of it. And I tell you, it has to be preached. And I tell them, it's many an occasion, they won't be coming to shake your hands telling you've done well. They'll hate you. I know all about it. When you preach the gospel, you'll not be liked. They'll put a knife in your back. Oh, I know him. And they'll tell a few stories about you as well. And the most part of it all lies. But it won't make no difference. Because you see, Tommy McKinstry or John McKinstry or Gary McKinstry or an Anderson or a Jones or any of you, you know what you're depending on this morning? The blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Doesn't matter what somebody says, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that stands for you and me. And I tell you, we will stand before the Lord faultless, spotless. Romans 8:1, now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because Jesus took our curse. Took it on the cross. Didn't take a wee bit of it, he took it all. Took it all on the cross. The preaching of redemption of the cross is the foundation center of salvation. The gospel brings us this salvation, doesn't it? Praise God. To those of us who believe, we must continue to be thankful for God. When we come around this communion, we're thankful to God. We appreciate mysteries and all them things. I'm not against them. But our center has to be Christ. and it has to be the cross. Gives us boldness to rejoice in God and the grace to tell others of these great truths. That's what it does. Gives you grace. You ever in a situation and you feel you should talk to somebody, but you're afraid to do it? I've been preaching for years and it still happens to me. But then the Holy Spirit prompts you. He leads you and he makes an opening for you. And you might think it didn't say much to them, but it doesn't take much sometimes when God's in it. Amen. Praise God for the redemption of the cross. Then you see you have the redemption of the cross and you have the fellowship of the cross. Philippians 2 and 5 says this: let this mind be in you which also was in Christ Jesus. Paul here tells us what the mind of Christ was. He emptied himself. Amen. And he took upon him the form of a servant. That's what Mark's gospel teaches us. When you see, you know, when I did the tabernacle series, all the gospels bring out Christ in unique ways. One of them will show him as a king, one of them will show him as a servant, and so forth. And Mark shows him here in his gospel as a servant of the Lord, that he's a servant. And he took our place, and he took our punishment, because he's our servant, and that was his mind. He did all the Father wanted him to do. All the Father wanted him to do. Praise God. He humbled himself even to death of the cross. It is a mind that was in Christ to go to the cross. The Bible says he set his face as a flint and he says, I must go up to the cross. He was determined to go to the cross, wasn't he? Determined to go. He even prayed, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thy will be done. Praise God. Look at verse 1 also, Philippians. Philippians 2 and 1 says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies. You see, it's all because of the cross. That's why we're here this morning. We're here this morning because of the cross. We're taking this communion because of the cross. We're remembering what he done on the cross. The curse that he took on that tree, so that it can't be on us, because he's took it for us. Do you get that? How can there be a curse on you when Jesus took it on the cross? Now I want to say this morning, I believe in deliverance from many different things, but I believe many preachers go too far. And they preach it in a way that every single person, even though they're saved and born again, has set a curse on them. I don't go with that myself. But I'll tell you why I don't. I'm not saying that you couldn't be saved in the problems. If you're saved and you backslide, you'll have a lot of problems. But if you're truly born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, my Bible says you're a new creature. Amen. In Christ Jesus. Amen. Now if you're a new creature, nothing of your past can remain. You're new. He didn't partly make you new. He says you're completely new. The power of the cross, the born again experience, liberates us and frees us from the sins of the present, the past, and glory to God, his blood will take care of the future as well. We're free. Free. And no curse can be on you. You're really born again. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
I tell you, there's a lot of people and they want to have people. Everybody's, I need to go back into your life and then they'll sit you down and question you. But I tell you what, the Holy Spirit does it. Praise God for it, if it's a real thing. But some of the nonsense that's going about is only nonsense. Pure nonsense. And it only brings people into bondage. That's all it does. But Paul tells us we're free through the cross.
Amen.
Through the cross. Paul says that I would know nothing else amongst you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The cross. The Comforter was to come to reveal the real presence. It's not right. The Holy Spirit came. But the Holy Spirit couldn't come until you had the cross. There never could be a Pentecost till there was a Calvary. You know, Calvary's really more important than a lot of people think, because Abraham's bosom would still be there if it hadn't been for the cross.
The Old Testament saints would still be in a realm if it hadn't been for the cross. But Jesus brought them out of it when he rose from the dead. And I made a way. He made a way with his own blood right into heaven itself. Do you realize that? Brother, where do you get that from? In the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews says in chapter 9, as the earthly things are sprinkled by these earthly blood sacrifices, the heavenly with better. Amen. That's the blood of Jesus. Amen. Jesus Christ's blood reached the whole way to heaven. I'll say it like Reinhard Bonnke. He plundered hell that he might populate heaven. Oh, yes, he plundered it all right. Oh, absolutely. He preached unto those held captive. And he broke the bars asunder. And he rose triumphant o'er the foe. And he gave gifts unto man. Thank God for the cross. And thank God for the resurrection. We want this morning to worship him. We can run this communion table. I tell you, you have a right to worship the Lord. You have a right to praise the Lord. You have a right to thank the Lord. His blood has cleansed you. His blood's broke every curse over you. Maybe some preacher along the road has made you think maybe there's a curse on you. What about the woman that came on the message, Deep Calls to the Deep? There's a video of it. She comes before God's prophet, and some preacher told her she's a witch. Now the woman's in absolute bondage. But when she comes before that gift that God given that man, he discerned everything, didn't he? And he says, you're not a witch. And she breaks down crying. And he says, some preacher told a lie on you. That'll be nothing new, sure it'll not. That started with Judas. He was one of the 12. There's where it started. And it started before him. Right back in the beginning with the serpent. Didn't he tell Eve the lie? You'll not surely die. And we know he was possessed with Satan. And some preacher told her you're a witch, and he says you're not a witch. And that woman went away rejoicing, didn't she? Because somebody had given her a false word. False word will cripple you. Like a brother John preached the other week, people's looking for these words. What if you get a false one? I never forget my father telling me of two men he looked up to. And he'd been given tremendous prophecies that were coming to pass. And these two men gave two deadly prophecies over him. Crippled him. Crippled him. That's why the Bible says we're to judge him. See this book here?
Amen. Yes.
Not according to the law and the prophets. Forget about it. Amen. If it doesn't come to pass, it's wood, it's hay, it's stubble. It's useless. If it doesn't come to pass. And thank God there's a real true, isn't there? Amen. But don't throw it out. There's a true as well. Thank God for the true. But you see, that Holy Spirit you've received is a discerner. Amen. It's a discerner. And it can discern. Didn't Jesus say it in John 14? The Comforter's come. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 11. I want to read you, and then we're going to have communion service this morning. 1 I want you to feel free in the house of the Lord if you want to pray or anything when we come around this table. Don't feel any obligation. Just be yourself. Just praise the Lord. Chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he is betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat that bread and drink this cup of the Lord, ye do show the Lord death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many sleep. And that word sleep means they're physically dead. That's what it means. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And what judges you this morning? It's the Word of God. The Word of God judges every one of us. We have to line up with the Word. But when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together on the condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Let us judge ourselves this morning. It's easy to judge an our brother, isn't it? Perhaps any of us could be guilty of it at times, but say things we shouldn't. Maybe about another brother or sister. But the Bible says, let us examine ourselves. Let us judge ourselves. Let us individually come before the Lord and say, Lord, wash me, cleanse me afresh. And you know, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Let's pray that we give thanks for these emblems, and then we're going to come and the deacons are going to come and do the communion service. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we thank you. Your precious blood was shed on the cross, shed for our sins, shed to cleanse us, shed to make us clean. Your body was broken and bruised, and with your wounds, your stripes were healed. Your own self took our sins upon your own body on the cross, and being dead to sins, you live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Lord, we thank you for it. Pray you bless this wine as we partake. Bless this bread as we partake. Lord, if it's sin in any one of us, forgive us, wash us. Every wrong thought, every wrong word, cleanse us, sanctify us in the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Bless every brother in this house, every sister. Help us, Lord, to look to you. Help us to be slow to speak and quick to hear. Lord, to say the right things and do the right things. Forgive us, Lord, when we've done the wrong things and said the wrong things. Sanctify us, cleanse us, and wash us, even with the washing of the water of the word. In Jesus' precious name. Bless now the bread. Bless the wine. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. We'll ask the deacons to come. Maybe your sister could just play something.